minutes after the 12 o'clock hour, it's time for the Hull Show, powered by PDC Energy. Glad you guys could be with us today. I am Brady Hull. We've got Jaden, Jimmy Dean over there on the other side of the bulletproof glass. And we're ready to rock and roll today. Should be a lot of fun. We're going to, I believe we're going to catch up with Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, at the bottom of this hour. And then we're actually going to talk some Wyoming Cowboys today. We're going to bring Cody Tucker from 7220 Sports. I set this up before they lost last night, so it was going to be a lot of talk about getting to the top 25 and all that. And then they lose to New Mexico, 75-66. They just got in the top 25. It happens. I mean, more than likely it drops them out, but this happens. It's going to hurt them for sure. The fact that Wyoming, though, has beat CSU, Boise State, Utah State. I tell you, that San Diego State game is going to be really interesting now for the Cowboys. They're sitting with six games remaining. Well, the Rams game next week. What am I saying? That's going to be absolutely huge. You got to make up for that loss now. That is a tough loss. What, quad three? New Mexico is at the bottom of the barrel, one of the bottoms, I should say. Not as bad as San Jose State, but right there. 3-8 in the conference, 11-14. And again, this is just one of those games, maybe, that you chalk up to just an amazing shooting night for New Mexico. Terrible shooting night for Wyoming. I mean, they were 33%. Well, 3-point wasn't bad, 41% field goal percentage. New Mexico is at 54%. I mean, you're going to win a lot of games when you do that. They shot 37% from the three-point line last night. And, you know, you had a guy in Jalen House that just went off 34 points. You saw that with UNLV. The Rams had a similar situation going on with them when they played UNLV. They had a stud just go off against them. And when that happens, I mean, again, it's basketball. So if I'm a Wyoming fan, I'm not pressing the panic button just yet, but I'm certainly a little skeptical of these next. I'm a little concerned about these next six games, and now here's why. Now, you smoked San Jose State, great, but it was a close game against Utah State, close game against Fresno State, close game against Boise State, close game against CSU, and a close game against Air Force. There's a couple of quad ones, quad two, quad three in that mix. And they were all close games. And we wondered, okay, how long can they keep pulling off these miraculous wins? And did all that stress of tight games and everything kind of just come to a point where just an off night, bad shooting and everything? So is it a concern? You lose to Air Force on, was that going to be Saturday? Is that Saturday? No. Yes, Saturday. I'm losing my days again. Then you have an issue. Then you have some trouble. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Keep that number again because we're going to be registering people for our March Madness Challenge. The winning bracket is going to win $500 from PDC Energy. Second place bracket is going to win $200 from Bear Insurance. Third place bracket is going to win a foursome of golf to the Eaton Country Club. So you better get in this one, guys. It's our first year doing a monster prize like this. $500 for the winner. Wow. So just make sure you get in the mix. Get in our bracket challenge. We'll do that a little bit later on. I'm going to do it through text today. So you can text in the show. Again, First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Here's an interesting poll question for you. Our Method Flow Products poll question of the day is available at thewholeshow.com. Who's more likely to leave for a different job first, Nico Medved or Jeff Linder? Now, you can, the New Mexico game, that doesn't have any bearing on the future for both of these guys. Both coaches are flat out great. I had somebody, Tanner, asked me from a host of NoCo Now, asked me this morning. He said, who would you take? That's an interesting one. Now, I know both of these guys really well. I followed them very closely. Obviously, Jeff Linder was the UNC Bears head coach for a couple of seasons. Did some great things with them. And now Wyoming's probably going dancing. They got to see how they follow up that New Mexico game, but they're probably going dancing. Now, you get a lot of the, well, it's Wyoming, Brady. Lender's going to get out of there first. I got 80. Look at that, dude. 82% saying Jeff Lender. That he's more likely to do it first. Now, let's have, like, take the Wyoming factor out, because there's a lot of CSU fans and Colorado fans that are saying, hey, it's Wyoming, man. It, you know, we don't like, there's some good things in Wyoming. If you like freaking, I mean, Wyoming's beautiful in certain areas, man. I mean, it's absolutely gorgeous. The wind's crazy, but I'm from Eastern Colorado. Wind's crazy there, too. Not as crazy. I get that, but take that aside. Let's go off of merit. Medved has been, I mean, he's literally gotten better every single year. But Lender has been there 2 years, and one of those years was a COVID year. And he's probably going to get his team in to the big dance. I mean, that loss to New Mexico hurts the at-large bid thing, but who's more likely to leave? First, you got to ask yourself, are they going to be up for that opportunity? Is there a better market, major market, whatever, type of school that's looking at Medved and Lender right now? I'm sure those names have both come up. The Mount West Conference is making noise. So that, to me, there's probably some big teams that are looking. Now, you got to see how they do here. You've got to see how Lender and Medved do here. Because if the bottom falls out and they both don't make the big dance, then I would imagine those offers go out the door. And it probably hurts Medved's case even more. I mean, it's interesting. Nico Medved and Colorado State have been in this kind of upward trajectory for the past 4 years, where I truly believe that Nico Medved could do no wrong. They love him there. Do you get to a point where there's a little bit of pressure this year to have to make the big dance? And if you don't, I mean, again, you're not. There's pressure, but Medved's there, the guy there for as long as he wants to be, at least for now, in my mind. But there's still pressure. I mean, you want to be able to start getting into these tournaments. He hasn't done it yet. Now, Jeff Lender, on the other hand, year two, and again, COVID year, take it as you will, but 2 years, he has done a lot quickly. Wyoming was bad when he got there. They kind of started to get a little bit better, actually, toward the end of the season prior to him arriving. But I just think it's interesting. Okay, well, Kelly Swamy says Medved's resume is much better. He'll be gone first. Now, it's better in the long term, but man, how much credit can you give Jeff Lender for packing a punch quickly? He's done it fast. I got to tell you, interviewing both guys, talking to both guys in person, following both of these guys, I have a hard time with it because, you know, they're both sensational coaches. And you just look at their records and look at what they've done. Yeah, Nico on paper has done more. You know, you go back to his days in Furman, Drake. He got better every year. I mean, his first two seasons, he was like 9 wins, then 11 wins. And then after that, Nico's never seen a record under 500, save for the 1 year, his first year with CSU. Remember that leap they made? His first year, they were 12-20, and then the next year, they're 20-12. Jeff Lender, on the other hand, hasn't been a head coach as long. Now, but look what he did at UNC. He replaced, obviously, a tough situation with former coach at the time, B.J. Hill. And there's all the allegations and everything, the NCAA violations against him. And he's out the door. So Lender comes in having, you know, 1 year of, they don't have any eligibility that year. He's got to try to get everybody to stick around. So I'm just saying, listen, I know Medved had to replace Eustachy, which it was sketchy territory, but he didn't have any actual NCAA violations. UNC did. So for him to take the job was a risk because they didn't get to play in the tournament, the Big Sky Conference tournament his first year. He had to try to convince guys like Jordan Davis to stick around. He was 11-18 in his first year. They were 26-12 his second year. So when you want to talk about resumes, are you ignoring the CIT championship that they won? in 2017? Nico's been to CIT tournaments. He's been to the second round. He's made it to the semifinals with Furman. He made it there with Drake. He made it there with CSU. They got fourth in 2020. If you want to talk about resumes, if you're packing punches with championships, you're giving it to Lender. He won the CIT championship. Now, they didn't go. He was there for 4 years. They didn't go the next couple of seasons. Did they decline to go? I'm hazy on that story, but they were still good. Look at his record. After his first year, which didn't matter anyway, they could have won every game. They wouldn't have been able to compete for anything. After that first year, 26-12, 21-11, 22-9. With Wyoming his first year, 14-11. They were terrible. Jaden, can you look up Wyoming's record 2019 and the 2019-2020 season? Because I think that that's worth looking up. To see like how good of a job he did replacing the coach at that time. They weren't very good, were they? They came on stronger, I think, toward the end of the season. But I want to say that they were pretty bad. What are we working with there, JD? They just won one game. I feel like Lender's resume is actually a little stronger. What do you got? 2019-20 season?
Yeah, so they were 2-16 in the conference and 9-24 overall.
So they were 9-24. He takes them to COVID year, but he takes them to a 14-11 record. 7-9 in the conference, but they go over 500. This year they're sitting at 21-3 or 21-4, 10-2 in the conference. So he's already getting better than he did. So as far as resumes go, you got to be careful here. Now, the Rams, before Nico Medved got to Colorado State, 2008, it would have been the 2017 season, right? 2017, they were, okay, yeah, I got it right here. That was things, I mean, things were bad, right? They were 11-21 under Larry Stasche. Well, Nico won one game better his first year. Now, they've been to more CIT tournaments and all that, but Jeff Lender actually won it. So if you're going to compare records, Lender is 115-64. Nico is 150-131. Way more games for CSU because he coached the Furman years. You know, he was there for 4 years. And then Drake, then Colorado State, of course. So he's had a... His resume is bigger, but is it better? I'm not so sure, folks. I love both of these coaches. It's a fun debate. Schools will look at the longevity more than short-term effects because Lender could have hit on one recruiting class and then not been able to duplicate. That doesn't work, though. Then why was he good in 2017, 18, 19, 20, and 21? That's not long enough for you? 2017, 26 wins in the CIT champion. 21 wins, 22 wins. He was 80-50 while he was at UNC. 48-28 in their conference, which I think, you know, Big Sky Conference is not, it's not necessary. It's not a joke. It's not like it is in football. So it's not that easy to win in the Big Sky. But he did. He won at a high level. 61 winning percentage. Wyoming, he's 35-14 with Wyoming. It's really good. So if you want to just talk about resume, you got Nico, who had two bad seasons with Furman, had one bad season with CSU, and those were both his early stages. Outside of that, he's been pretty damn good. His winning percentage with CSU is about the same as Lender's overall. 71-43. Lender got off to a faster start. And I mean, if you're talking about longevity, he was with UNC for 4 years. Three of those years were successful. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. That's 888-530-0043. I don't think it's as easy as everybody. I mean, Linder, I feel like a lot of Rams fans are voting on Linder because they're like, oh, it's Laramie. It's, you know, they're not. No, man, that's not great. He's going to get out of there. So you take that out. Take that out. Because, I mean, I'm more or less talking about. I am more or less talking about merit. Texter here, outside of the top 10 or so jobs in the country that Nico would want over CSU, I don't think there's a job. I think it's Minnesota, and they already hired. He is paid well. Damn, but not compared to like that. He's not even getting $1 million. So is that paid well? Yeah, it's paid well for us. Is it like 775,000? Getting close to 800,000. But there's like, I mean, again, is he going to be a top paid guy? I think those Coach K's of the world, I think that they're making like buku bucks, man. Like $8 million. And that's a handful of guys. That's not the norm. When you look over at this thing, yeah, Calipari, Mike, Coach K, Rick Barnes, Chris Beard, like those guys are going to be in the $8 million, $4 million. All that. Is Medved going to get to a point? Could he go to a job and get paid $3 million? Is that worth the jump? Could CSU get him up to 1.5 someday? They don't have a lot of money right now. They're still paying football coaches from yesteryear. yeah, John Calipari's making $8.1 million. Coach K's making $7.2 million. Those are the greats. You're not going to get up there. So if you're looking realistically for money, outside of money, you're probably saying these guys want to, you know, they want to make in the million. They want to get $1 million to $2 million probably at some point. Now, I've talked, and I want to keep this conversation going because I think it's a lot of fun. I've talked to a lot of people that think that Nico Medved could very well be, you know, the Sonny Lubick of Fort Collins. Settle down, he's well-loved, and just kind of run Fort Collins. Well, Linder could probably have that too. I mean, me personally, yes, I think Fort Collins is much better. Colorado is much. I'm a Colorado fan. I would much rather live in Colorado than Wyoming, and I'm not knocking Wyoming. I'm just, me personally, I've been here my whole life. But some of you guys are going to that, and maybe that's true. You're jumping right to Laramie. Yeah, texter here. I'd want out of Laramie as quick as possible. Linder. They're saying, Linder, Wyoming is not as good of a job. And what Linder has done is really impressive. Yeah. See, I mean, even CSU fans are like, and I know that. I know this texter's a CSU fan. So shoot us a text. This is a fun debate. They're two great coaches at the end of the day. And we had a long talk last week on our Hoops Tip-Off show with Chris Abshire and Kevin Lytle about how, you know, could you eventually convince these guys to stay? Could the Mountain West be that attractive of a place? Let's chat about it more. Also, SI.com says, don't count Drew Locke out just yet. We'll talk about all that coming up next. It's a whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
If you want nuggets insight, then you want the Hull Show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Nico Medved, the men's basketball coach of the Colorado State Rams, and you're listening to the Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the hour. Welcome back in. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Hey, listen, bottom line is both coaches are fantastic. We wouldn't even be having this debate last year. It was Nico Medved, hands down. But again, you have to pay attention to what Jeff Linder's doing. On the Rocks Liquor, giving us our game beer of the week. This one's from Odell's Brewing in Fort Collins. Positive Latitude IPA. Positive Latitude. You get that? positive latitude. Pick up selections from Odell's or any of their favorite or any of your favorite adult beverages at On the Rocks Liquor. You can also use the drive-thru. They're open until midnight every single night. Also, this Friday, Loveland Ale Works will be on hand with free tastings from 4 to 7. SI.com put out a story a couple of days ago on Valentine's Day, a lovely day for Drew Locke, at least according to them. They say Chad Jensen put this article together. Broncos Insider. Here's the title. Broncos Insider. Nathaniel Hackett's offense promises to get best out of quarterback Drew Locke. The sub-headline says the local mouthpieces are getting the fan bases primed for Drew Locke being the Broncos starting quarterback in 2022. Is that me? Because I don't hear any other mouthpiece. Maybe I'm not a mouthpiece. Talking about Drew Locke being the guy. Does anybody said it? Am I the only guy on this train? Am I all by myself? Feel like I am. He goes on to write that, you know, hey, the idea of this offense, of Nathaniel Hackett's kind of offense and style, might fit Drew Locke perfectly. Ian Rappaport tweeted this out on February 13. He said, what would an Aaron Rodgers contract extension look like? Likely 2 years for more than $45 million per year, with voidable years tacked on for cap reasons. Mike Kliss, speaking of mouthpieces, it's not a knock on Kliss, by the way. I know what you got to do. And you do what you got to do to get the scoops, man. It means you have to be cool with some of these people. I think he gets a bad rap for that. Mike Kliss retweeted it with the comment, the Hackett offense promises to bring the best out of Drew Locke. Why would he say that, JD? Now, the background of Mike Kliss of Nine News, a lot of respect for him, by the way. Nine News Sports. People give him crap because he's tight with the Broncos organization. And I've always said this, like the Adam Schefters of the world, you don't get there if you're not cool with people. You can't get on this, on your radio show and your blogs and your basements and just say, he sucks, he's terrible, don't like that. You gotta find an in-between. And we strike that balance too. You gotta be fair. And you could argue that, but Mike Kliss, anyway, he gets a bad rap sometimes because of that. Now, again, he's also in the know. He's also connected. Why would he tweet that out on February 13th? A guy that I feel is close to the Broncos organization. The Hackett offense promises to bring the best out of Drew Locke. George Payton did say, hey, Locke is going to factor into the 2022 plans. Now, again, that's vague. That could be anything. He could factor into the plans by being a backup or trade bait or whatever. It could be a mix of things. But I'm just, okay, again, and I want to bust into this. When you look at the list of quarterbacks that are going to be available or possibly available, like an Aaron Rodgers, whose future is hazy at best. Aaron Rodgers, I say that's going to be a no. Russell Wilson, I think a lot of people struggle with that one because you don't want to pay the same price as you would for Rodgers and get a lesser quarterback. And at this stage, Russell Wilson is not as good as Aaron Rodgers. I love Wilson, but I've backed off of that a little bit. Would the Vikings be open to trading Kirk Cousins, a guy George Payton is familiar with? Do you want Kirk Cousins? So assuming you can't get Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson, this is the next bet. Do you trade for Kirk Cousins? Do you trade for Matt Ryan, who's reportedly maybe on the block? Do you trade for Derek Carr? With a new system, a new head coach, and Josh McDaniels, are they looking at a different quarterback? We all know what McDaniels did in Denver. He wanted his quarterback. He cleaned house. He got rid of Jay Cutler and got Kyle Orton. So don't act like McDaniels moving on from Derek Carr would be that big of a deal, because it would be. Or it wouldn't be, excuse me. He could do it. He could easily do it. Tua Tagovailoa with the Dolphins? There's rumors there. Jimmy Garoppolo? Jameis Winston? Cut. He would have to be... He is a free agent, actually. He's a free agent. Nick Foles is another big name on the list that would have to be cut. Jared Goff would have to be cut. Cam Newton, Teddy Bridgewater. Are any of these names doing anything for you? Sam Darnold, Tyrod Taylor. Oh, Brady, they're all better than Locke. You still don't know. there is still some uncertainty about whether or not the Broncos destroy Drew Locke's potential. We'll talk about that. I got a lot more on this. I think I'm the only one that talks about it. I think I'm the only one that thinks there's a potential chance that Drew Locke could be the starting quarterback next year. But man, wouldn't that be something if you're Nathaniel Hackett? You see that he has the arm. He said he wants a quarterback that's not afraid to go get it, take chances. That's a way different tone than what we heard from Vic Fangio last year. Just don't lose, okay? Don't throw more than 5 yards because the chances of throwing a pick past 5 yards is going to be bad. So don't do that. Check it down. Check it down. Check it down. Punt. It's like a song for Vic Fangio, man. He loved that. That's his mantra. 35 minutes after the hour, the Colorado Buffaloes are smoking hot right now. These are against teams they were supposed to win, but they beat Oregon State twice in Utah. They got California coming up. The Buffs are, 16-9. Is Tad Boyle going to turn out a 20-win season from this young Buffs crew? We'll talk to Mark Johnson. I think we're going to get a hold of him. The voice of the Buffs coming up next. First, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hey, it's Andrew Bogish from CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
After 12 o'clock, welcome back into The Hull Show, powered by PDC Energy. Thanks for joining in today. Fun discussions already. Things are about to get even better. Talking to the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, Mark Johnson. And Mark, my friend, the Buffs are on a little bit of a roll. They've won three in a row, taking care of Oregon State again. This time, even bigger than last time, 90-64.
Yeah, they played very well. In fact, I'm still standing here. We're just about to take off. Just stepped out of a scouting report to come and chat with you, and then we're heading to the airport to head to Northern California for a game on Thursday against Cal. But, yeah, they took care of business last night. Hit shots. Their defense was solid. I'd say not great. Had five guys in double digits. Jabari Walker was phenomenal last night with 24 points and 15 rebounds. Luke O'Brien had a career high. So everything went well. I was joking with Ted afterward. I said, that was a nice makeup game. We can petition the Pac-12 to play Oregon State every game the rest of the year because this seems to be a good matchup for Colorado.
Yeah, man, and you mentioned it. Jabari Walker, great game, but 10 for 10 from the free throw. I love that stat. When you get to the line that many times and knock them down like that, man, you're probably going to be in a pretty good position to win.
I give Tad Boyle a hard time all the time because, the last 2 years, they nearly led the nation, nearly set a NCAA record for free throw percentage in the season, and they climb back up. They're right there with number one and number two in the Pac-12 right now. I said, you've done a heck of a job coaching free throws the last couple of years. But, Jabari's been very good. He's on a streak. I think it's 19 of his last 19 he's hit. Tristan DeSilva hit like 14 or 15 in a row. He missed his last one last night. So, they become a very good free throw shooting team. They're leading the Pac-12 in three-point shooting. Remember, early in the year, Brady, we were talking about Colorado not being a great shooting team. All of a sudden, they're tops in the league now in three-point shooting, and so they become a good offensive team. And I think what we're seeing is a young team growing up, which we expected to happen. They've been more efficient on the offensive end. They're taking better shots and not as many bad shots, and that really helps out, of course, from an offensive standpoint.
I always kind of thought, now again, 20 wins isn't the end-all be-all. That, nowadays that doesn't typically get you into the big dance. But 20 wins to me always kind of marked a pretty good team. And now I'm looking at this Buffs team, Mark, and they're 16-9 with this young group that I mean, I didn't know what to expect. I think a lot of people didn't know what to expect. I would say either way you want to slice this, if Tad can somehow find a way to get that 20 or darn close to it, man, I would be absolutely impressed by this effort this year.
I've said many times, you're playing at a power conference. Tad is now, I think he's on the verge of his 12 years, is it? Seven. I got to go back and look it up. These are 7 or 8 20-win seasons, and they had a couple of other like 18-win seasons. No, it's a phenomenal number, and he's done a great job with this team. I think this might be as good a coaching job as he's ever done with this program because as young as they were with all the injuries they've gone through and have them on the verge of a 20-win season, which I think they'll get to, I think is extremely impressive.
So when you look at the rest of the schedule, you think, you're thinking, what do they need? Four? They need four more wins. Cal, certainly a possibility. Stanford, a possibility. Utah, a possibility.
Sure.
I mean, there's definitely some opportunities there to grab
and
some dogs.
Arizona State.
Yes.
Yeah, you throw Arizona. Now Arizona at home is obviously going to be a very tough thing. They're as good as anybody in the country. Might be one of the favorites for the national championship. But, that's an awful, awful impressive job that he's done. I don't want to cut you too short. I know the team's loading up.
Got
and they're
you,
looking
Mark.
At me right now, so I got to get going pretty quick. But you don't want to get, even though I'm talking to his hometown, really, you don't want to get too upset when I'm standing outside the bus.
All right, Mark, I'm going to let you go, man, because I do not want to be on the headlines. The guy responsible for Mark Johnson not calling a game tomorrow, so I don't want that to happen. Coverage for you guys gets set, what, 7:30 tomorrow?
7:30, if I get my head straight about me, 7:30 is the tip. We'll be on here at 7 o'clock tomorrow night on the network.
All right, my man. Safe journeys. We'll talk to you soon.
Ready to see you.
Mark Johnson, the voice of the Buff. Sometimes that's how you roll, man. We're talking to the voices of these teams, and we're at their mercy, and they're at the team's mercy. So we'll see. But for Colorado, you very well could get a win tomorrow night. Cal's not good. Very well could beat Stanford. Stanford's kind of around the same as CU. But still, I mean, it's on the road. It'll be tough. Arizona State, also not good. I think they're like 4-10 or something in the conference. Arizona, you're not beating Arizona at home. Sorry. You're just not. That's not happening. Then at Utah. Need to win 4 or 5. Can CU do that? Certainly possible. They already beat Utah. I think they beat Arizona State, didn't they? So they already beat Arizona State. They already beat Utah. So definitely prove that they could do it. So it'd be awesome, man. If he wins 18 games. I did not expect this team to do anything. This is a young group. Other than Evan Batty, this is a young group. See who's going to be good next year. Watch out next year. I think the Buffs, I don't know if they'll be at the top of the Pac-12, but they'll be sitting in the, I think, top five. In the Pac-12 next year. We'll see. But I think next year will be there. 46 minutes after the hour. Short break coming up. Before we do that, I want to thank Mosier Funeral and Cremation Service. They're the only family-owned and operated funeral home in the Greeley-Evans area. Services as unique as life. Live well. Plan ahead. Give Scott Robin or a member of their great staff a call today. Talk to them about pre-planning. Get it done and put it out of your brain and enjoy your life. Their number, 970-330-6824. Their website, Mosier, M-O-S-E-R, MosierFuneralService.com. 47 minutes after the hour. Drew Locke and everybody else. B-Rad's texting in about Carson Wentz. Come on, guys. We just want to keep going after the Carson Wentzes and the Teddy Bones. Just keep wash, rinsing, and repeat. You either go with Drew and you finally see what you got, or you go big. And if you can't go big, you stay with Drew. We'll be right back.
March Madness can be heard right here on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, Nugget fans, this is Coach Bowen of the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back to The Whole Show. Glad you guys could be with us here on this. So I think it's going to be snowing. Where is it, Tanner?
12:45. It's around a couple minutes late. It texted me and said it's supposed to be just a couple minutes late.
I don't see it, man.
I don't think we're going to get a whole lot here. I
thought we were supposed to get like 5 or 6 inches or something like that.
It's west of I-25 is going to get hammered, but not so much here.
Well, that's going to miss me then, barely.
Yeah.
It's west of I-25.
I-25 is that barrier.
That's the cut. Like
no,
it's just
no
right there.
Yep, that's
just
it.
Like hits a wall at that point.
That's exactly right.
Tanner Schwint, host of NoCo Now and a diehard Aaron Rodgers fan. I think you have pictures of him in your office still, and that's adorable. It's great.
I photoshopped a Broncos jersey on it. No, I don't. I don't actually. But now one of the arguments, did you just see this, that Rodgers and his fiance have called off the engagement. So there goes that narrative that, oh, the,
there goes the Boulder
fiance
thing.
Lives in Boulder, yeah.
Yeah, well, that was the only thing that tied him to it.
He's a pretty spiteful guy. Wouldn't he want to move right into Denver so every news channel that she turns on here in Colorado
maybe,
will just have Aaron Rodgers plastered all over
maybe
it?
Maybe it was his fault, though. And he's like, you know, I don't know. But we'll see.
Yeah, still, I feel like that's the type of thing he'd do.
Let me ask you some questions here.
Let me
I wanted
some.
To bring you in on this because I have questions for you.
Let me hear.
Okay, obviously Aaron Rodgers, you would give up all the cows in the world for Aaron Rodgers. There's no question.
Right.
Tanner's a rancher. I'd bring up the cows. So Aaron Rodgers, you would give up the stadium for him and just have him play in a high school football field. No question. Russell Wilson.
I don't know. I've been torn on Wilson. I think if you can get him for, you know.
You're probably not going to get too far off of what they're wanting for Rodgers. You're probably going to have to do a first-round pick and a player and maybe a second-rounder.
Then stay the hell away from him.
Okay, so I'm going to say no. Kirk Cousins. Any scenario? Probably.
If
I'm
telling
send, you.
If you can send a third or a fourth, yeah.
I think it's going to be richer than that. I still think it's going to be richer than that. So.
It's going to be low for that.
Matt Ryan. Is a name that perhaps is on the...
I don't like that.
That'd be a trade, obviously.
No.
Derek Carr. You like Derek Carr.
I do like Derek Carr.
Is he first-round material? Are they going to want a first-round pick for him? You're not giving number nine for him.
No, you're not giving number nine. It'd have to be a future first-rounder. I would give I'd go second and third for him, too. I don't think I'd give up a first-rounder.
Tua Tagovailoa.
No, stay the hell away.
Jimmy G, I know you love him. You think he could just do every
third
game.
Third or fourth-rounder, yeah.
It's your boy.
I did see some reports of maybe the Washington Commanders are looking at Jimmy G.
I still don't even know who you're talking about right now.
Bidding
who are you talking about?
Washington
is that a college
football team?
Is that a college team?
Ever heard of them?
Not really.
No.
The name is still just, I can't get, I don't know.
The Commanders, baby.
Okay, so... Maybe on Russell Wilson, maybe on Kirk Cousins, maybe on Derek Carr.
I'm out on Tua.
Maybe on Jimmy G.
Yeah.
Jameis Winston is a free agent.
No, hell no.
Nick Foles, if they cut him.
No.
Well, he's a Super Bowl winner. Jared Goff, he's a Super Bowl contender. He's been to one.
If they'd
have to cut, now they're probably going to cut him. They might cut him.
I wouldn't be mad at the Jared Goff idea.
Really?
Really.
Teddy Bridgewater. Let's try that again.
No.
Let's run that back. Cam Newton?
No.
Sam Darnold?
Maybe.
Tyrod Taylor is a free agent?
No.
Deshaun Watson? Still with everything going on?
That's got
okay.
If there's any proof of any of that, can they bring that forward so we can either figure this
right out
or stop talking about it?
All right.
Our legal system get going?
So I brought you in here to conduct an experiment.
Okay.
And this experiment has proven very fruitful. You're not sold on anybody but Aaron Rodgers. So why would you waste your time trading off anybody or spending anything for any of these guys?
In my mind, it's Rodgers, Derek Carr. I would be over the moon for Derek Carr.
You would go first-round pick? What if Josh McDaniels comes back and says, hey, Broncos, you guys suck. Give me number nine.
I wouldn't trade that number nine for him. And like I said, I mean, even with Rodgers, I think you at least have to get back their first-round pick. So I think you swap here in this first year. Derek Carr, I think, and I don't think the asking price for Derek Carr is going to be that.
Is he a
first-rounder? Second and third, I think, and maybe you got him. And I'd be willing to do that because they've got the Broncos have enough capital to do that.
Is he elite? Is Derek Carr elite?
Borderline.
See, that's my problem.
I think him and Matt Stafford in the same category.
My problem is you either have an elite quarterback or you don't. And the only way, if you can't get a Rodgers or a Wilson, then you go with the draft and hope that it works out. Or, again, you just sit tight for one full year. You sit tight and you put Drew Lock in there and you just see what happens.
So this is where your levels of being elite are different.
Oh, yeah. Very snobby.
What would you define? A top 10 quarterback in the league? Is that elite?
No, top five.
Okay. So Derek Carr is a top 10 quarterback.
Yeah.
Pretty easily.
I'd throw him in there.
I would take a top 10 quarterback right now to Denver. Without missing a beat. I think you do what it takes to get a guy like that. He knows the division. He knows the conference.
As a free agent, I would agree with you 100%. If Derek Carr was a free agent...
You've got to give up a little bit of capital, though, because you look at what they have in draft picks. They've got enough to still make a dent. You give up some of the capital and fill a position.
But they're not
going to
want your third-round picks. And again, the second-round pick that they got from the Rams isn't very good. It's terrible. It's the last one. So, again, if you're wanting Derek Carr or any of those guys, I still think you're going to have to give, number one, B-Red says, Carr, when was the last time a quarterback of decent ability was traded within the same division? It's not going to happen. It probably won't happen.
Maybe not, but I would love to have him here. Would you trade your 2 seconds for him?
No.
Your 2 second-rounders?
Stay with us. Second hour coming up next.